ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सर्ववेदमये नेदम् आत्मनात्मात्मयोनिनां प्रजासृजयथा पूर्वम् याश्च माय अनुशेरते. Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead speaking to Lord Brahma. By following my instructions, you can now generate the living entities as before. By dint of your complete Vedic wisdom and the body you have directly received from me, the supreme cause of everything. Although here it's not literally to line, but it means to have its existence in, something like that, is it? What does it refer to? The praja? What is the anusharate? Refers to the prajas lying in Vishnu.
Who lie in me? They are presiding.
Yeah. Yeah, in this case it means, well, maybe lying also. Sukta. Yeah. Text 44. I'll go on to, because there's no purport by Srila Prabhupada to text 43. Maitreya Uvacha. Tasma evang jagat srashtre pradhana purusheshvaraha vyajedang svena rupena kanjana pastirodhate. Kanjanabha means the personality of Godhead of Narayan. Kanja, what does that literally mean?
Lotus.
Oh, I mean, here it means lotus. What is that derived from? Kanja, born from cup.
Water
is. The sage Maitreya said, after instructing Brahma, the creator of the universe, to expand, the primeval Lord, the personality of Godhead, in his personal form as Narayana, disappeared. Purport. Before his activity in creating the universe, Brahma saw the Lord. That is the explanation of the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. When the creation awaited Brahma's activity, Brahma saw the Lord. And therefore the Lord existed in his personal form before the creation. His eternal form is not created by the attempt of Brahma, as imagined by less intelligent men. The personality of Godhead appeared as he is before Brahma, and he disappeared from him in the same form, which is not materially tinged. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, ninth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada seems to be responding to a comment made by a commentator or a translator. Should give a fine, 50 rupees fine, every time a cell phone goes off in the class. It's a good idea. Srila Prabhupada, I believe in this third canto, was using the Gita Press edition of the Bhagavatam, so sometimes he responds to the translations which may be impersonally tinged. So here it's someone has suggested, and Prabhupada's responding to that, that less intelligent persons think that Brahma, who is the creator, also created the form of Narayana. But actually it's round the other way. Brahma is the creator, but he himself is created. Sometimes people ask, Well, if God is the creator of everything, then who created God? Well, we could say Narayana is the answer, inasmuch as the creator of everything in this world is Brahma. Here the name is given Jagat Shastra, the creator of the universe. But Brahma comes from Vishnu. So who is generally considered to be God in this world among people of less intelligence is they perceive his main function as being the creation of the world. In the Abrahamic religions, that means Judaism was the first of them, Christianity the second, and Islam the third, although Islam claims to go back to the creation. So in these religions, they believe that God is the creator of the world. That's the main thing he did. Throughout unlimited eternity, he does nothing. And then he creates some living beings and throws a bunch of them into the material world. And then after some time they're judged and most of them go to hell and some of them come to live with him. And that's it. Just a blip in time is the existence of the world, and there's nothing before it or after it. So they see God, his main function is to create this world. He created everything, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the good Lord made them all. There's the idea. That's a Christian song that I learned in school. So the idea is that he created this world, and basically it's very nice. It's for us to enjoy. So when in the Bible it says that God gave man dominion over the animals, that means he gave the animals to them to eat also, because it's enjoyable. We like to eat animals, so God has kindly given us animals to eat. So they have some idea that they'll go to heaven and they'll be happy eternally in heaven. And I suppose there are slaughterhouses in their imagined heaven also, because they like to eat meat. So it's lack of knowledge, because they only see this, they only have information of this material world, of what they see here and now. And therefore, they presume that this is all in all, and the greatness of God is his creation of this world. They have no idea that this world is only a creation of his external energy. And he doesn't even directly create this world. He delegates that task to Brahma. Krishna himself, he's dancing. He's not sitting on a cloud making plans how to punish people. He's dancing. He's not concerned with how this world is... not concerned meaning he's not involved in the activities of this material world. That he does through an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of expansion, who is non-different from him, Narayana. And even that work he delegates to a large extent. The creation of the engineering of the universe, he delegates that work to Lord Brahma. So the point Srila Prabhupada is making here is that Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. He is not a creation of Brahma. These kind of theories that there are so many different ways people have different theories that the Supreme Lord, they recognize Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, or they may recognize that there is Ishvara. In various Vedic philosophical systems, or Vedic in the sense that they derive or they attempt to base their philosophical systems on the Vedic knowledge, they cannot deny the existence of Ishvara, because Ishvara is mentioned throughout the Vedas. Tamishvaranam paramam maheshvaram. They cannot deny, but they ascribe an ultimately impersonal existence to him, that he is ultimately impersonal in various ways. Lord Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita a common theory, avyaktam vyaktimapanam manyante mama buddhayaha, that persons who think that my personality that is now manifest before you, Arjuna, is something temporary. It has come into being from the unmanifest. Persons who think like this are foolish, Lord Krishna says. And there are others still who deny even the personality of God. Even some who recognize the personality of Godhead, but they say that the personality is a manifestation of the impersonality. And there are others who totally deny the personality of the Absolute Truth. Or there are in various ways, there are various theories. The Ishvara of imagined by Patanjali, or the Ishvara imagined by Jaimini, they're not fully powerful, they're not Ishvara in the full sense. Brahma himself, who's the actor in this, or he's in this chapter, he's the prayer, he is the prayer, the one who prays. He gives this wonderful, these verses of Brahma Samhita, they completely destroy the impersonal conception, beginning from the very first of what we have extant of the Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satyadananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. That Ishvara Parama, Ishvara, that this term Ishvara gives the sense of one person controlling another. But as long as a name is not given, then somehow or other people try to define the term Ishvara in impersonal terms. Although Ishvara must mean a person, but somehow or other they try to ascribe impersonality to Ishvara. Or they may say that there are so many Ishvaras and therefore they are all the same. Therefore, Brahma says, Ishvara Parama. And then tells exactly who that person is. Krishna. And if still one thinks that, alright, Krishna is the supreme controller, but he is manifest from the unmanifest, then, or his form is like our form, it is not eternal, then Satchidananda Vigraha, this is answered. His eternal, his form is fully spiritual, eternal, and full of bliss. It is not simply a functional form, like the Ishvara of the yoga system, or the Ishvara of Jaimini, Karma Mimamsa, that is just simply some kind of dispensing agency. And even then, if we think, well, his form is spiritual, but then it's also it's produced from the impersonal. But no, Anadir Adi, he is the origin even of that which is unbeginning, which sounds impossible. Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman. But that is eternal. So how can Krishna be the source of that which is eternal? How can anything be the source of something which is eternal? It sounds as like a logical impossibility. But the example can be given, of course the sun is not eternal, but it has at least within the existence of this world, from our vision, there is a sense of stability. It's always there. So just like the sun rays, they're always existing. But still they have a source, which is the sun. Or the Ganga, or any river, is always flowing, but still it has a source. So in the same way, the impersonal Brahman, it rests on Krishna. The central focus of everything emanates from Krishna. It is not the... Yeah, everything comes from Krishna. The impersonal comes from Krishna. Not that the impersonal, which has no form, qualities, pastimes, names, nothing, it at some point it coagulates into some form called Krishna, or all the whatever forms may be of the material world, which is another actually ludicrous proposition, that which has no form, name, character, pastimes, then it must have also no volition, no desire. If there's any desire, then it's material. So how the idea that that which is impersonal became or accepted some contamination, or the contaminated transformation of Brahman is this material world, including Krishna. That's why Mayavadis are called Mayavadis, because they believe that Krishna's form, everything, every form including Krishna's, is Maya. So the idea that contamination affects Brahman, and therefore that which is impersonal, which has no forms, desires, qualities, accepts forms, desires and qualities, which are all contaminated. From the impersonal comes the personal. This is repudiated by Lord Brahma when he says, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. This verse is very important. Or all the verses of this Brahma Samhita are very important. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. To stress again and again that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Govinda, his name, which means that, again, he's not just simply some dispenser of universal justice or some automated robot, but he's a person who is the giver of pleasure to the senses. That means he also has senses. And tamaham bhajami, our relationship is established within this, that we are meant to worship him. There is a difference between him and us. And why is he to be worshipped? That is explained in every verse of Brahma Samhita, that fifth chapter, which is extant. That is described. Why we should worship him? Because in all ways, in every imaginable way, he is so great and so beautiful and so wonderful. The verses describe how the transcendental beauty of Krishna, Vairankvananta Maravinda Dalayata Kshambar Havatam Samasitam Buddha Sundarangam Kandarapakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He plays the flute and his eyes are like the lotus petals. He is on his head, the ornament of his head is the peacock feather. And his beautiful form is blackish, like a cloud full of water. His form is more attractive than that of millions of cupids, or millions of cupids. They are attracted to the beauty of Krishna's form. Therefore, this Govinda, who is the supreme original personality of Godhead, I worship him. I don't worship him just like someone may worship politicians or sports persons or cinema stars. But Krishna, why should he be worshipped? Lord Brahma is establishing. What is his greatness? Over that of any mundane person, even over that of the demigods. The demigods are very great persons. If we see from the Puranas, what is the greatness of Lord Shiva, or here in Tamil Nadu, Lord Shiva's son, Murugan, Murugeshan, or there are so many names for him, Skanda, Kartikeya, Kumars. The Tamil people, they know more names. And in the rest of India, another son of Lord Shiva is more popular, Ganesh. So they're great persons, no doubt, if we read about their activities and hear about their activities. Not only Shiva, Ganesh, and Kartikeya, but all Durga, Indra, Chandra, Vayu, Varun, they're all great persons. But they are not as great as Krishna. This is established in Brahma Samhita. Lord Shiva, so great, so powerful. His wife is she by whose Srishti Stiti Palaya Sadhana Shaktirig. Chayeva yasya bhumanani bibharati durga ichana rupam api yasya chachesthate sa govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. His wife, also so powerful. Just now the Durga Puja, Lakshmi Puja, Kali Puja, these are all, the season for this has just finished. Very popular, especially in Bengal. Here also, they celebrate not much. Lakshmi Puja, yeah. Never, yeah. So these are, how powerful is Durga in Bengal, especially? That's very magnificently celebrated. Although actually this big public celebration of Durga Puja is a modern invention. It's only going on for the last 250 years. Otherwise, apnara janen Bengalir. Arai bochhor age ei rokom dhumdham kore Durga Puja hotona. Eta not adhunik. Otherwise people used to do it at home. That's all. They'd kill a goat at home and maybe call the local village people, but it wasn't this big pandals and lights and so many things. It wasn't a public celebration. There are so many new things, modern Hinduism. Similarly, this Ganapati Puja in Maharashtra, that's introduced by Lokmanya Tilak for political purposes. It wasn't there. Otherwise, in Maharashtra, the Marathi spiritual culture was worship of Panduranga, Vithal, at Pandharpur. That was the culture. That's still going on, but they introduced this Ganapati drunkenness and cinema music and all this. Of course, Lokmanya Tilak didn't introduce that, probably. But that's come now. So anyway, we're speaking of Durga. She's so powerful that under her superintendence, the whole material world, creation, maintenance, destruction, that's performed by Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, but it's done through sadhana shaktirik. It's done through, she is Shakti. The worshippers of Durga are called Shaktas. They worship Shakti. She is Shakti. She is the energy, all the energy of the universe is reposed in her. She has all power to dispense punishment, reward. All, you see, very powerful, huh? Extremely powerful. You know, the people they worship, and they get power also. The tantrics, they worship various ghastly forms of, especially Kali, various forms. There are various ghastly forms of Devi, the what is that? The Navamatrika, the nine form, you know, is the Chinnamashtaka, running around with our head cut off, and like this, a different form. They're all very powerful. So people are impressed by that power, but she herself is submissive to Lord Shiva, and he is also worshipping Krishna. So Lord Brahma establishes all these points. How great is Krishna? Why he should be worshipped? He is to be worshipped even by Lord Brahma and even by Lord Shiva. Young Brahma, Varanendra, Rudra, Marutastun, Danti, Divyai, Stavai, all the great demigods, they worship him. So that is incumbent upon every sensible person to worship him. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam that even all the rulers of all the planetary systems bow down their heads at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. But the miserable people of Kali Yuga, extremely puffed up, with absolutely nothing to be puffed up over, just of extremely perverted intelligence, they refuse to bow down to Krishna. And they invent so many theories. This Mayavad here in this purport Srila Prabhupada is addressing. Mayavad. So that's there always, more or less, in human society. Just like Vaishnavism is always there in human society. And Shaiva, Shakta, these various traits of perverted Vedic Dharma, they're always there in human society. But at various times, various traits become more prominent. In this Kali Yuga, this Mayavad is extremely prominent due to the influence of Shankaracharya, Mayavadam asach chastram prachandam bhut uchyate. He tells Devi that I will preach this Mayavad, which is a perverted representation of Shastra, and is covered Buddhism, which is considered most inauspicious because it denies the Vedas. Even more auspicious than those who pervert the Vedas. But this particular representation of perversion, Mayavad, is so dangerous because it is Buddhism in the sense that it denies existence. Buddhism denies existence. So Shankaracharya, although purporting to represent existence, Sat, Brahma, Brahman, that is Sat, but then he says that, well, this Brahman is no name, no form, no qualities. So, just like if I described to you, there is a person, I want to tell you about a person. This person has no name, no body, never did anything or never does anything, has no potency to do anything, no friends, no place of residence, is no person. Because a person must have name, form, qualities, pastimes, friends, and all these things. So, in this Kali Yuga, the Mayavad is extremely strong, and even as I was saying earlier in this talk, even persons who purport to be Vaishnavas, often they are Mayavadis. They will worship Krishna or Rama or Narayana and speak of bhakti and pray for his mercy, but their understanding or misunderstanding, their conception is that ultimately he is impersonal. So this misunderstanding destroys all bhakti, which is the only auspicious path for every jiva. So that even if one takes up hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord and apparently relishing hearing about his pastimes, but if one has this misunderstanding, then it's all in the name of devotion, it's all actually dvish or envy. Simply one is cultivating envy of the Supreme Lord. So how dangerous is this? Today is the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, whose pranam mantra contains the, or stresses on the point that he is delivering the Western countries which are filled with voidism and impersonalism. Of course, India is also filled with voidism and impersonalism. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, why the Western countries? Srila Prabhupada said, because that was the particular responsibility deputed to me by my spiritual master, to preach in the Western countries. But the whole world is full of this, and we find again and again in Srila Prabhupada's purports and in his speaking, he is disabusing us of the misconception, the perverted conception that the supreme truth is impersonal. This understanding is most envious. We may think, well, I've understood this, but like anything else, we may, in Krishna consciousness, we may have a theoretical understanding of it, but these misconceptions, they are not products simply of the philosophical mind, but they are products of, in other words, the misconception. There are so many misconceptions that the absolute truth has, or the supreme, or the form of Krishna has manifested from the impersonal, or that God is simply some cosmic dispenser of justice, and he is obliged because the laws of the Vedas, they are incontrovertible. No one can go against the law of the Vedas. So God is obliged. If someone does some good activity, he is obliged to give them a good result. If God does a bad activity, if anyone does a bad activity, God is obliged to give them a bad result. So all these misconceptions, they arise not from the neutral, philosophical reasoning, but they arise, different people accept different conceptions according, they're attracted to different conceptions according to their purity of consciousness. So someone who is of pure consciousness, he can accept that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the source of everything. He is not a product of the impersonal. And someone who is of contaminated intelligence, they will be attracted to various impersonal and atheistic ways of thinking. So we may have a Bhakti Shastri degree and be able to explain theoretically how the Supreme is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But unless our consciousness is purified means free of the desire to enjoy our own senses and filled with the desire to serve Krishna's senses. Atendriya priti bancha tare bale kam krishnendriya priti icha dhare premana. This most important verse gives the whole distinction between spiritual consciousness and material consciousness. Spiritual consciousness means the desire to satisfy Krishna, and material consciousness means the desire to satisfy our own senses. So we hear the philosophy again and again and again to fortify our conviction and our desire to serve Krishna. But at the same time, if we haven't accepted this goal of life as being to surrender to Krishna, then even if we go on with the activities of bhakti externally, we will not be cultivating the effect of bhakti, which is to become full of love of Krishna. That will never happen. Actual love of Krishna cannot be there. That's why, even if we see some Prakriti Sahajiyas and they appear to be full of prem, they have the symptoms that are described in Shastra, they appear to be full of prem, or even we find people who are not even strictly in the Vaishnava line. There are certain Paramahamsas. There was a famous Paramahamsa from Calcutta, so-called Paramahamsa, towards the end of the 19th century, who was reputed to regularly have ecstatic symptoms of bhakti, but that has to be measured against the Shastric descriptions. That what? Why are they doing? What are they doing? If they're saying they have bhakti, they have trance of ecstasy in love of Kali, that cannot be, that is not the symptom of that, of pure consciousness of the soul, because the symptom of the pure consciousness of the soul is pure devotion to Krishna. Therefore, there's one incident. One gentleman by the name of N. Datta, what N stands for, we don't know, but N. Datta, he was an associate of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Associate means he was associated with it. Associate mean, real associate means that chitete korea oikya. Anyway, he was hearing from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he came one day to Bhaktivinoda Thakur in distress, saying that we are, our family, we are simply devotees of Gaura, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have no interest in anything else but the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But my son has become attracted, I'm very distressed that my son has become attracted to this so-called avatar, new avatar, whose initial is given beginning with Ra in the Gaurīya magazine. So you can guess who that is. They didn't give his name, but they gave Paramahamsa, a new avatar by the name of Ra something. So this gentleman, Mr. N. Datta, invited the Paramahamsa to his home and then called Bhaktivinoda Thakur that, "I'm calling him to my home, and you please call and you please come and test him, and you see and you give your verdict," because he had faith in Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So there was the Paramahamsa went into one of his ecstatic trances and became unconscious, and then he revived somewhat. And then they brought some rasgullas and they offered to him. He took a little and he gave to others, although no one dared to offer to Bhaktivinoda Thakur his remnants. Others were taking the remnants of this avatar. Then they brought to the Paramahamsa some amedhya, which means something impure and untouchable. It can mean meat or wine, is that not right? Something, or fish is very popular in that part of the world. So at first the Paramahamsa, so-called, didn't take it. But then with a little encouragement from others, he did take it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't say anything. He went back to his place, Bhakti Bhavan, where he had been lecturing regularly on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And on the basis of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he spoke on the symptoms of actual prema, which includes fainting, as the Paramahamsa had done. But it doesn't mean that everyone who faints is actually a Paramahamsa, or is actually in Krishna prema. And then he discussed in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also to describe, what is that? Chaya Rati, the shadow of actual attachment to Krishna. And there's one other also. Patibimba. The shadow and the reflection. So the symptoms of given of persons who may appear to be in full love of Krishna. It appears their symptoms are similar to those described in Shastra of pure devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the great transcendental madman. Others who imitate him are not necessarily on the same platform. Rupa Goswami Prabhupada addresses the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And as a matter of fact, it's well known that this so-called Paramahamsa, his philosophical understanding, although he claimed to be a great devotee of Kali, was actually impersonal, because he said, Jato mat tato pat, all the paths, all opinions are as good as each other. So beware of impersonal malinterpretations, in which they say that, well, everything's all the same, so you can eat whatever you like, because everything's all the same. So if you like, you can eat fish, and you can eat meat, and you can eat beef even, as this Paramahamsa did in the course of his spiritual search. He also adopted Islam and ate beef, because that's an important, according to the malinterpretation of Islam. I don't think that's even there an original Islam. Oh, looks like there's another class going on down there. So let's finish this one, and Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Oh, maybe we should call them up. Maybe they don't like what I'm saying. Most Bengalis don't like if you say these things. They become angry. This construction was not Bengalis. The Tamil workers, they also talk too loud. Any questions? They must fight, because they have no higher consciousness. Even their talking, it's in the spiritual world, kataganam. Speaking is singing. And by singing, we don't mean cinema song style, but very sweet and beautiful. Whereas in Kali Yuga, speaking is rough. Parusham, that's one of the qualities given in Bhagavad Gita, of the bad qualities of demoniac persons. Their speech is harsh. So in Kali Yuga, there's no attempt to speak in a pleasing manner, but rather everyone speaks roughly. Jananda Goswami, our god brother, does he come here? I think not. Hardly he comes here. Anyway, for some time he was preaching in Newcastle, which is a city in England, which is famous for its rough people, and they pride themselves on being rough in their behavior. So he was telling me that if you go on book distribution in Newcastle, you'll think that everyone just hates you, because every other word they use is a profanity. You know what profanity means? How do you say that? It's like a cursing word, a swear word. It's very bad language. Every word, there's some bad word which means stool or sexual activity. But they just use this all the time. Just their normal language. And they can't speak. They don't know how to. They can't imagine speaking without every word Every other word is some bad word. There's no need to, just like if you say, they'll give you a book and they say, what kind of book is this? But they won't say, what kind of book is this? They have to put an adjective to book. What kind of effing book is this? There's no need to. Bhanu Maharaj can understand. He's, although a transcendental person, he's also born in this demoniac culture. So anyway, that's lost on all of you here. But unnecessarily, they add bad words to their speech. So just nasty for the sake of it. Yeah, then, any question? Comment? So, what's the conclusion? Everything's all one, the Supreme has no form, and we're all God. Is that right? Wasn't a very good class, was it? You should have all jumped up and beaten me on the head as soon as I said that. Then that's allowed to be nasty. Nasty to Mayavadis, that's good. Not actually nasty, but...